Our first Testament lesson is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verses 10 through 22. Listen for the word of the Lord. They shall make an ark of acacia wood. It shall be 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside you shall overlay it, and you shall make a molding of gold upon it all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 feet, 2 rings on the one side of it and 2 rings on the other side. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark by which to carry the ark. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. You shall put into the ark the covenant that I shall give you. Then you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold. You shall make them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at the one end and 1 cherub at the other, of 1 piece with the mercy seat. You shall make the cherubim at its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. They shall face each other, face one to another. The faces of the cherubim shall be turned toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the covenant that I shall give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the covenant, I will deliver to you all my commands for the Israelites. The word of the Lord.
Our second Testament reading today is a continuation of the Beatitudes that we've been looking at. This comes from chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. The word of the Lord. There is just something about a good chair. Look at the chairs around your home. Think about what caused you to pick that chair for that space. Think about what chair you like to sit in most, what makes it so perfect. When I was in college, there was one chair that we all fought over to study in because it balanced a book and a bowl of ramen noodles perfectly on the arms. Chairs are important to the design of a room. When we redid Calvin Hall, there are about 8 different chairs in there that the staff all sat in and decided on which one we would buy in bulk. A lot goes into picking the chairs we sit in. Some chairs hold on to their significance long after their usefulness ends. I've been to museums and seen the chair in which the Declaration of Independence was written, and ones in which great scientific minds thought through the problems of their days. They are just chairs, and yet we stare in awe as we recognize they once held the weight of the advancement of humanity, comforting the sitters as they did their work. Chairs and human culture go hand in hand. Every great archaeological site has found chairs that once cradled the land's people. Every time and place have need for a chair. These past few months, I've driven around with a chair in my back seat. I put it there for a very specific outdoor event, but its presence has offered me many more opportunities since then. It has allowed me to stay longer than I had planned with people that I have very much missed. And it's given me a last-minute excuse to stop and have a solo picnic between my errands. The simplest of chairs hold immense power. When you nervously walk into a room and there's an open chair, you suddenly feel relief. An open chair is enough to make you feel welcome, to begin the process of feeling like you belong there. When someone pulls up a chair next to us, we feel wanted and worthy. So I think it's incredible that in God's grand design for the ideal worship space, God includes a chair. The design that Cindy read that God lays out for Moses is intricate, to say the least. God has thought about every measurement, every material to be used, every space of the room and its function. God has been dreaming about the day that this worship space would be built. And in the Holy of Holies, the place where God meets with the priest, the representative of the people, God includes a chair. The chair says to me that these meetings won't be a quick standing huddle to check in and a quick exit back to the heavens. God wants to sit and to listen and to build the partnership. In the translation we read today, this chair is called the mercy seat. Now, our understanding of mercy has gotten a little bit twisted over time. In our world, mercy is when the weak cry for the powerful to stop. When two teams face off and one begins dominating the game so outstandingly, the losing team pleads for mercy. Mercy is a call of surrender, and the powerful in their kind and gracious ways agree to stop beating on the weak. My mind immediately goes to elementary school and the game Mercy. Now, for this game, we would interlock fingers and try to bend the other person's hand back far enough so that their pain would make them yell out, "Mercy!" And again, the triumphant, in their abounding compassion, agrees to stop causing the harm and let up. But only after the weak plead for mercy. The powerful still walk away with the win. The weak are left licking their wounds, but at least the worst is over, right? In our world, the image of mercy is someone on their knees, hands clasped in front of them, begging for mercy. But this mercy seat paints a very different picture than our understanding of mercy. The ones who are thrown to their knees at the sight of mercy are the powerful. When formidable armies see the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, they tremble. Mercy in Scripture is not about the powerful, graciously halting destruction. Mercy is a third team, a strong partner showing up to help the struggling team play the rest of the game clock. The weak can confidently approach mercy because it is not the thing causing their harm, it is the thing there to help them gain winning ground. Mercy is God pulling up a chair to sit on our side. The Ark of the Covenant sends the powerful running because they realize God is such a regular visitor among these people that they keep a chair open for when God shows up. A chair that they bring with them everywhere because the chances that God is showing up to help them is good. The enemies do not grant mercy. They run away at the prospect that mercy is on its way. On its way to turn the table against them. The seat also means that mercy is an act of partnership. It requires both parties to pull up a chair and sit together in the struggle. Because of this, mercy does not promise the problem will go away, or that the partnership does not mean that there will never be bad days. The enemies may still take their chance from time to time to break that partnership up, However, what mercy does promise is that someone will be on our side during the fight. It is God pulling up a chair to be on our side. It's God coming to earth to be on our side. It's Jesus dying on a cross to forever sit on our side. Mercy is not something an oppressor can give us. Mercy is the gift of a partner coming to take a seat alongside us. I saw a video this week of parents who redid their son's bedroom as a gift for their son. And they sent the son away to the grandparents for the weekend to do the work. The boy was obsessed with John Deere tractors. And so the whole design was around the green and yellow logo. There were shelves on the wall everywhere for all of his tractor collectibles. And the parents worked around the clock to have it ready for him by the time he came home. When the big reveal happened, they set up a camera to catch his reaction. And as the boy walks in for a moment, joy spreads across his face. Then he realizes he didn't get to be a part of the transformation. His eyes fill with tears and he sniffs, "I didn't get to help paint." The parents thought that they would save him from the mess of redesigning. They would do all the hard, sleepless work for him and he could enjoy the final product. The boy, however, felt cheated out of the process. He didn't get to help paint. Mercy is a partnership. God could redesign the world while we're away for the weekend, but then we won't get to help paint. And God wants us to be a part of the transformation that mercy is capable of. Even the messy, hard, hurtful moments, God wants us to be included to help paint. The mercy chair is something that we all get to sit in. When we pull up a chair next to someone, we affirm that they are worth our time, that we want to be there with them, and that the problem will be faced together in partnership. That is why mercy requires a chair. Mercy takes time. It takes time to build someone up who's feeling weak. It takes time to listen to their story and surround them with enough love for them to feel strong again. It takes time to sit side by side as partners for mercy transform each other. And just as God pulls up a chair to sit on our side, we are also asked to be the ones pulling up a mercy chair alongside someone else in need. Mercy is meant to flow to us and through us. This beatitude says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." It seems like an odd barter. If I already have mercy, why do I need more? But what Jesus is affirming is that mercy is best when it's in motion. We can get our fill of mercy and be satisfied, but when we pull up a chair next to someone and offer them mercy, then we get replenished with more mercy. Here's a modern parable for this concept. Let's say at age 18, we get a choice. We can get a bank account with $1 million in it, or a bank account that can only hold $100. But every time we spend the $100, we get deposited another $100 into our account. We, of course, are choosing the one that gets replenished as we spend. We can never call ourselves millionaires, but we're going to be well taken care of, and we can care for the ones around us. Mercy is a bank account that gets replenished every time we pull up a chair and offer mercy to others. When we sit with someone and listen to their struggle, God sits and listens to us. When we encourage one another through the hard times, God encourages us. When we walk in partnership with others, lending our strength and surrounding them in love, God does the same for us. So let's take a moment and think about the chairs that God is asking us to sit in. Who among our partners, which of our relationships need an infusion of our strength? Where can we pour out some mercy and make room for more of God's mercy in our lives? Let us sit and pray. God, as the faces and names flash before our eyes, we ask that you offer spaces that we can safely sit alongside those who are in our need of our strength. We thank you for being our source, for being on our side. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.